Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
This is a beautiful, colorful program with all French composers. You start with the Lalo. It's called Symphonie Espagnole.
Yes, well, but it's a French piece, like Carmen, about Spanish music. Even this Lalo, the themes, it's been said that they were sent by a Spanish friend to him. So they are popular Spanish themes. And he wrote the piece, of course, for Sarasate. And that gives a little clue on the interpretation, because Sarasate was not only one of the big virtuosos of his time, but he was a charmeur. I mean, he could delight the public with melodies and small things.
And can you just talk a little bit about the shape of the program?
Well, we have that first half with the violin, and in the second half, we have the two great pieces of French music, which is La Mer and Daphnis. I mean, that's an old combination with mostly every French conductor used to do. And I like it very much. It's when you get a virtuoso orchestra like the Philadelphia, it's incredible.
Now, the Debussy, it's so familiar to us now, but when it first premiered, how was it received?
Well, Debussy has been, not even now, a very popular composer for the great public. He's too refined. It's too many things that are for people who really know music. I don't think that he is popular composer with a great public.
Well, he creates these musical pictures.
Well, he creates fabulous pictures, he creates fabulous music. That's another question. But I don't think that he is one of the big popular composers.
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, you see it in the box office whenever you do Debussy. I did one complete, because I adore Debussy. I did a complete Debussy program in the Dresden Orchestra, well, it's Germany, of course. And we did the Nocturnes, we did the La Prémédie, and we did La Mer to finish, and we did the Rhapsody for clarinet. The public didn't came at all. You would say that's a beautiful program.
Beautiful, beautiful program.
Well, the public didn't came at all. So it's not, at least in German speaking countries, or Russian, it's not so popular.
What attracts you to it?
To me, it's great music. It's a great invention, great originality. And finally, there are things of orchestration that you never see before.
I understand it was very unusual.
Very, very unusual. For instance, you have a melody in the first movement of the La Mer that the oboe is doing it, the harp is doing it, the cello solo is doing it, and the contrabass in pizzicato. Where do you find a combination like that in music? You never find it. It produces an incredible... But all these things, I don't know if the general public understands them. They will see that it is a great work of art, but understand it, it's a different thing.
And when you conduct music like this, which has some sort of visual pictures attached to it or associated with it, how do you approach it with the orchestra? Do you approach it a different way? Is it important to visualize?
Well, I mean, the pictures are clear for everybody, and he writes exactly what he wants. For instance, the whole second movement is a virtuosity, it's a capriccioso. I mean, it's what the waves make, all the things that you get in the orchestra. So, and then it may come a big wave on the end and so things like that. But for me, of all La Mer, the most striking moment is the pianissimo of the flute and oboe in the third movement. And these three notes and this change from half tone to a one tone is what remains now in music as La Mer.
It is beautiful. And you end with Ravel, Daphnis and Chloe. This music, I understand, was taken from the ballet.
Yeah.
How did it become this sweet?
Well, the composer wrote the complete ballet, which is a marvel, from the first bar to the end. And this is the second suite. He took parts of the ballet and made two suites. The first one, which includes the nocturne and the chorus part and the dance guerrière, and this one who includes the pantomime, which is fantastic music, incredible craftsmanship, and the orchestra sounds as beautiful as any.
Is there any particular part to listen for in the Ravel?
Well, I think, for instance, if you take the way he develops the solo when Chloe says no to the god Pan, which is Daphnis, of course, and he makes a flute and he plays the flute. And that tune is so beautiful and so felt from him that's incredible. How the tune, who starts very slowly, develops with the four flutes and the piccolo in the end, it's incredible. But the craftsmanship that Ravel showed in this ballet is really absolutely smashing.
This is your 150th appearance with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appearance here.
In Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia at the regular concerts. If you count the Saratoga and you count the tours and you count the Dell and all the things that I have done with the Philadelphia, it's much more.
So your long relationship with the Philadelphia Orchestra, how does that affect your music making?
Well, I said to the orchestra this morning that I admire them immensely when I came here in 1969, and I admire them immensely now. That it has always been a privilege to work with them because they are fantastic musicians. But I said something more, which is human. After so many years, I told them, you are awfully nice people.
Thank you so much, Maestro.
You're very welcome.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.